How does he know who's piloting it?
Yeah.
Look it up, man. Like, who cares?
Oh, you're so silly. This is the second silliest argument we've ever had on this show.
This is
I mean, actually, I'm going to say this is worse than the Cowboys versus Lions. Hi, everyone. This is Sneaky Dragon. I guess I started too soon. I should have given myself a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I just jumped right into the show. I just couldn't wait to get started. Anyway, my name is David Dedrick. David Andrew Dedrick.
Okay,
Or Dad.
Look, we've had a request. Hi, I'm Ian Boothby. There we go. We've had a request from a listener.
Did I stop doing the show?
And the listener said, first of all, get your act together and start the show is better. From the very first show, I believe I said the first 10 minutes of any podcast are a garbage dump. Just forget it. Just move ahead. But our listener made a request.
We give value for money.
And our listener request was, they want more of your dad raps. So I'm saying, since you're introducing yourself,
yes,
it feels like part of your dad rap is an introduction anyway.
Oh, okay.
We could two birds, one stone this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just start with a little bit of your dad rap introducing yourself, letting the people know who you are, and you know, our listener will be happy. And we've got that one listener, so we do have to cater to them.
That's how it works. Okay.
Okay, kick it.
My name is Dave, and I'm here to say I come from Aldergrove, which is a long way. And also, all white people rap this way.
And also, all the horses, they say nay, 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 eating hay all day. I say,
oh, wow.
Hey,
he's
all
going.
Day. I say, this nay, is, you're, okay.
You're taking it a step up. You've gone a step beyond my ability to rap. Because I can only rap in that, in using that
blind. All blind musicians are named Ray, except for Stevie Wonder. Hey.
Stevie Wonder. Yeah. He was blind. I was thinking Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know why that.
Were you?
Why I got mixed up between Stevie Wonder,
even though I said Stevie
blind
Wonder,
blind black musician, and right. Stevie Ray Vaughan, white dead musician.
Yes. Thanks for tuning into the White Dead Musician podcast. We'll be talking about all of them on the show today.
Yes. There's a number.
Yeah, there you are. We are in between holidays. If you're American now, we're in that space between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yes. Yeah.
Where there is no turkey, the turkey has been consumed.
This is the worst time.
Typically. Whatever you set up in your dinner with your family on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Those big things you brought up, you will have to pay off in December.
Okay.
So it's a bit it's a bit exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things, can you take them back? Probably can't.
I really don't like this time of year.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I just feel this is like the most pressure part of Christmas to me. Like, because, you know, I'm a neurotic mess, so everything,
okay,
everything has to be
let's
perfect.
Let's also, for the record, say that, you, first of all, you're Canadian, so you do not have the American Thanksgiving.
No,
let's
I don't.
Let's take
don't
that
celebrate.
Away. We do celebrate Christmas, but Canadian Christmas, which is just saying I'm sorry for whatever
it's
gifts
a month
we've given.
Yeah, a month earlier than America.
Right. We have a beaver cut down the tree. Whatever tree they bite through, that is the tree we are required to have.
Sure.
We wrap the presents in maple leaves.
And yep.
And one
we
and,
use maple syrup to glue it together.
That's right. And that's the traditional Canadian
mm-hmm.
way. Mm-hmm. We all go out in the morning, injure ourselves in some way, enjoy some health care, come back and heal as a family.
That sounds great.
But you love Christmas.
I do love Christmas.
So now I'm not a lover of Christmas, but yet I'm not that stressed. Why as a lover of
well,
Christmas
because
are
I think
you stressed?
That's it though, because if you love Christmas, you want Christmas to be great. And so you put a lot of pressure on yourself before it gets to that point to get everything going, you know, like I haven't put my lights up yet, which is killing me.
But it's currently December 1st when we're doing.
Yeah,
this.
I know. They should be up already. They should be up. But last weekend,
have you taken your pumpkin down?
The pumpkins are long gone. Yes.
Well, then that's very different than the people in my neighborhood.
But well, because we can put them into the compost and they get taken away, right?
Yeah, they could be, or they could just stay on the front stoop.
Get slowly
and keep the rent down.
Slowly go.
Yeah.
Slowly turn inward.
Yep.
They grow inward
until they turn into Krampus.
Into Krampus. That's what happens. I think if you don't care about Christmas, then you just don't care about any part of Christmas.
Well, there's not care. Well, it's not caring.
You don't like it, though.
What's that?
You don't like it?
I think it's.
What's the best holiday?
It's
then?
Like a forced hug.
What's the best holiday?
Halloween, because it's no pressure. It's just enjoyable.
Yeah.
There's candy.
Yeah.
You get to meet your neighbors. Like, the problem with Christmas is you have a more intense time with people you already know, whereas there's a lot more strangers involved in Halloween, and in a good capacity where, like, you're just exchanging candy and complimenting each other on your costume.
Yeah.
And there's a creativity element
still,
to it.
There's still some
and
pressure.
And no one goes, oh, you nailed Halloween. You know, it's like, you can go, you know, even if you do a, like, half-assed job on your lawn on Halloween of, like, throwing a couple of gravestones up, people are like, hey, neat.
Yeah.
They're fine. But yeah. But Christmas has to be clean and crisp and perfect, it feels like. It's
just no, you're right.
Too Martha Stewart-y.
I think we have kind of gotten carried away. But, I mean, we've gotten carried away about everything, really. Like, nothing is just a small thing anymore. Like, getting married, getting, you know, having Christmas, having any kind of family get-together.
I don't know if getting married was ever a small thing, though.
I think one time it was. Like, if you read, like, as I do, if you read Victorian literature.
Okay.
You know, and you look back at that time of what a wedding was. I mean, it was a, you know, it was a very simple, it was a church wedding. Mm-hmm. They had a wedding breakfast, and then that was it. People went back to their lives. They didn't have honeymoons. They didn't spend a lot of time worrying about it. You know, it wasn't like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, you know, depending how wealthy you were, of course, you know, there were different levels of getting ready. But I mean, even that seems, you know, rather than being like a wonderful thing to celebrate, it seems like a horrible pain in the ass where it's like a lot of things arranged so that the wife would be supported if the husband died, and a lot of arrangements of insurances.
Which,
and
the husband would probably die in Victorian times. Everyone died. You know, everyone just died.
Well,
like anything, like a gentle breeze and your neck snapped and that was the end of you.
Well, I'd tell you this, but that's still the case. Everyone dies.
Women would die in childbirth, just their own childbirth.
Yeah.
Other women's childbirth, the baby would shoot out so hard it would hit another woman and kill her. That's the thing. You don't hear about the other women in
who
friendly
died.
Fire dying in childbirth.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was that friendly fire.
Maybe walking by like a house and hear someone yelling in childbirth, turn too quickly, slip on the feces on the ground because people would just throw it on the street,
of course.
And then just fall into
they
traffic.
They didn't even throw
and
it.
Die.
They just went on the street.
Absolutely, they would. So they would then trip into traffic and get run over by a car horse. This was before they had full cars. It would be a hybrid cyborg of a car and a horse, which was just a terrible thing. Steam powered horse. They would just shove coal into a horse and watch it. And it would go. To be fair, you put hot coal into a horse, you're going to get some speed for about a block or two. But then it's...
I don't know if that's really steam powered.
And
but
the
okay.
problem is it would sometimes run over the women who were running away from the sounds of other women in childbirth.
Yeah.
Victorian times were
Meanwhile,
terrible.
Some old guy in a stovepipe hat is taking a dump on the sidewalk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Meanwhile...
And there weren't sidewalks, actually.
And meanwhile, three ghosts are teaching, like, the miser down the street the true meaning of Christmas. And you're like, you know what, ghosts? Maybe the rest of us could use a hand. Maybe the guy who's already been a millionaire his whole life doesn't need to really get his act together in the last fucking 10 minutes.
We need to learn the true meaning of septic systems. Mm-hmm. That would be also helpful. Ghosts.
Yeah, Ghost of Christmas Future. Maybe, like, spill the beans on how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, please continue.
Well, I think I'm done.
Victorian. Everything is harder now.
Is it?
Well, that's what you said.
Oh, no, I just mean, I think
that was your conclusion.
There's expectations of, you know, keep going up and up, you know? Like, nowadays, it's like a wedding. Like, you know, it's just a crazy thing. It's going
to
be perfect.
Are better now, so we have more time to worry.
You know, I don't think...
You didn't have the free time.
I don't think you had, like, Victorian bridezillas, you know? I don't think that was a common thing at that time. You know, of course you wanted your wedding
to be
nice.
Really? Because it seems like all the women in the Jane Austen books have their own, you know, business going through their heads, right? They all got
they're
kind of bridezilla-y, right? They want everything perfect, don't they?
No.
No? Everyone doesn't want everything perfect. Emma doesn't want things perfect for everybody. Wants everything to be perfect. She's worse than the bridezilla.
But no, but
messing
up
everyone's
lives. She's a matchmaker. She's not worried about what the wedding's
like.
Well,
she's trying to bridezilla everyone else.
Well, she's not bridezillying though. She's trying to. She's being a gentle.
She's trying to
whatever,
get everyone else to have a perfect.
She's
relationship.
Being the fiddler on the roof, kind of whatever. You
Yenta.
Know, like she's being the matchmaker.
That'd be Yenta.
Is it Yenta or Yentl?
Yentl is Barbara Streisand in disguising herself as a man too.
Is it Yenta?
Yenta, I believe, yeah. I was in the musical. I believe it's Yenta.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, let me see.
Well, no, it's fine. I'll believe
Jesus
you.
Christ
it's
just,
it's Yiddish for a gossip, so I'm just interested. That's interesting.
No, it's okay.
But I just
you're
think
on,
like,
you're on a rant.
I'm
go,
not
go
on a rant. I'm just saying that.
And if you
can
make it a rap rant, I would appreciate it.
What I'm trying to say is that weddings are hard. Well, I just think that we've just made everything. I can't rap. Come on, I'm as white as white bread. I cannot.
Yenta.
Possibly Yenta. Okay, very good. Very good. Ian, you had it there.
Well, oh, Yenta, see that he's gentle. Remember, you were once a bride. It's not that I'm sentimental. It's just that I'm terrified.
I have never fiddled on a roof.
I have fiddled on a roof many times.
There you go. I just think that people, like, nowadays, it's just, you know, we have, it's not only that you have a breakfast, you have to have, like, this fabulous dinner, and it has to have a theme, and you've got to, you know, you have to have everyone, like, walk down a glass gangway onto an island that's, you know, has all this furniture, you know, just, everything has to be, like, so super fancy.
Or damn that furniture.
You know what I mean? Like, everything has to be, like, this special thing. It's not just, you just don't rent a room and go to a room that's long established as a room, and you just go and use the chairs that are there and have some food and then walk away.
I would
again.
Say about half the people in my family have eloped recently. Like, that's how they've gotten married. Like, it's just been going basically yeah. to the courthouse mm-hmm. or what have you, and just you know, as simple as well, simple can be. Yeah. And others,
well, I think that's a reaction.
Have been
to
more
this.
Elaborate, mm-hmm. you know. But it's like, it's about split down the middle between mm-hmm. the simple as simple can be and elaborate.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that's a reaction to the kind of pressure yep. people are putting on themselves. It feels better.
And the kind of people that are getting married. You know, some people want to habba-da-ba-ba-boo, mm-hmm. and other people want to,
yeah.
you know, keep it simple.
Sure.
I mean, I remember before I got married, you know, thinking I didn't want to get married and thinking it was this act of hubris to stand in front of a bunch of people and just go, we will be together forever. I dare you, fate. Break us apart. You know, yeah. But then later on, it just made sense. It was like, oh, we should get married. Of course we should. Yeah, no, this makes sense. And it was a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've seen other weddings, you know, where it's just like, oh, you seem like you're asking for trouble. This
where
this
it's so
bit,
precious.
This,
it's
this
so,
is too much. Yeah. yeah, yeah. It's like, well, it feels like dress up. It feels mm-hmm. like this isn't your costume. You're wearing your mom's outfit. It's like it's yeah. like you're a kid and you're putting on dad's shoes or mom's dress and you're walking around going, yeah. look at me, I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see friends getting married, sometimes that is the case. I see them, you know, up there and go like, well, that's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. and you know.
I know who you're talking about.
And, you know, if they do to their own vows, that sometimes helps. You know, if, you know, because it's like, yeah. oh, now this is you. You're putting mm-hmm. yourself into this. This is what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, if I did that, it would be as successful as my rapping. But I think the other thing is that there's people.
Well, I'm Bachelor Dave, and I'm here to say that I'm going to get married in an old school way. Meaning everyone leave. Let's get the rest of the furniture. I want to keep it simple. Let's all have breakfast.
Just have some breakfast, and that's the end of the day. Yeah. We all
Here's
go back
Meg's
to our
Dedrick.
Life.
Let me tell you, the recipe Ooh, is that, very that, simple now. It goes like this.
That would
this.
Be good. Wish it was simple. I think the other thing is there's people who. You know, it's not about the person. It's not about the future. It's about that, them being a bride, them being married. And that's the whole goal. And everything points to that. So they yeah. have this special day, this huge thing where they're the focus. Mm-hmm. And everything is about them and all the attention's on them. And then after that, it doesn't really matter to them. It's, you know, well, we did it. Got married. Now the rest is boring.
You know what? If you just had a party, you would also be the focus. Please enjoy yeah. a birthday party.
Sure.
There, invite your friends. Guess who's the focus?
You know what?
You. You're getting a song sung.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you a little secret, though. You can go to any magazine store you want to, and you will not find birthday magazine about celebrating your birthday.
Oh, I like birthday magazine.
Simple trips
What's
on
the best cake? Yeah.
Simple trips. Simple tips on celebrating your birthday.
Yeah, how not to get fooled by a bad clown.
Yeah, 15 things not to do at your birthday.
Oh,
Birthdayzilla.
Seriously, man. Actually, a birthday magazine is a really good idea. Everyone's got one of those a year. You get married once, right? Maybe 5 times.
Yes, but you dream about it for a lifetime.
Yeah, that's a problem, I guess. Yeah, that's too bad.
I mean, those things only sell when someone is either... you know, when I used in the old days when I used to work in parking lots, I worked at a hotel that had hosted the wedding fair, and that
I went to one of those. Yeah,
that is a lot of mothers and daughters coming out of that thing. That's all I saw. I didn't see them in it because I was in
yeah.
hotel.
When I went in with my wife and we walked around and we saw stuff and I heard mm-hmm. all the women sure. talking with their moms and sisters and whatever and bridesmaids.
Yeah,
and all I could think was, you poor bastards. Like to the guys, oh my god, oh my god. This is just an intense roller coaster ride I could not fucking take.
Yes, Lisa and I kept it very low key, but it can get away from you if
right.
you
had
to.
You had your wedding at her parents' place.
Yes, we did. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Which was a beautiful space. So you know,
her wedding dress came from Valley Village.
Mm-hmm.
My wedding suit came from Valley Village.
Right.
Our rings were heirlooms. Yeah, it was pretty.
Did you return them to Valley Village afterwards? Did you donate them back to charity, or have you still got them?
Don't think we have the wedding dress anymore. I can still wear my suit, so I
okay,
do still
so you're
have the
keeping
suit.
It.
I have kept the suit. I can still wear it. So
good. It'll be nice for an anniversary party in the future.
There you go. But I think the wedding dress, it was put in a box and it was carefully sealed. And then for some reason, my wife's dad just opened it up.
Yeah.
I guess he was like, what is this thing in a box that says wedding dress? I'll open it up. So then it was open. And so then once that happens.
That's where she would hide her weed.
It starts to, yeah. Weeding dress. That's funny. He got it mixed up. Yeah. So once that happens, you might as well pass it along. It fit her perfectly, though. It was a really nice dress. I mean, if you're getting a nice dress for $20, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's a lot better than $200 or
yeah, you've got, whatever. You can spend the money on anything else that's better than that. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I see, you know, I think there's a bit of it feels like that if you make the party big enough, then you can't get a divorce because everyone's like, remember that? And it's just like, oh, just that's what feels like makes me really feel sad is like my friends that got married and then got divorced. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh, you had this big thing. And that must be weird later to go like we're getting divorced. And everyone remembers the party and everyone has a celebration. It's like, and people shouldn't stay together.
I was going to say, but the alternative to that is not
right,
so great.
But it's just like the ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Yeah. Okay. You feel like you should have like a little party or something for the divorce or something just to go like, we're happy now. Everything's fine. We're good. Just get the friends together and go, we don't need to break up the friends. We don't need the friends to choose sides. Things are okay. It's going to be fine. We can all still remain friends.
Lisa has some friends who are in the midst of separating, which I think is sad. And I think knowing them sort of well, I feel like the decision they're making is not based on how they feel about each other, but how they feel about the situation that they're in right now, which is that they spent a lot of money making a perfect horse place, this perfect show barn, this perfect show house, this perfect show property that has to be kept just to such special standards that it's just put all this pressure on them. And that's not what they wanted when they started. They wanted just a small place where they could keep a couple of ponies and just have a small little farm. And instead they bought a big property and spent a lot of money building this big fancy place, and it just made them unhappy.
Yeah.
And now the reaction to that is against each other rather than just to like realize the situation they put themselves in, to recognize that it's not them. For once, you know, it's not me, it's it. You know what I mean? Right. It's this situation that's causing this friction between us. And if it wasn't in between us, we would still have a relationship. I was reading about James Garner, who, you know, pretty amazingly for someone from Hollywood,
the actor stayed married. Rockford Files.
Let's bring up Rockford Files again. That's a good show, everyone. Okay. I don't know if you've seen it.
Just to clarify for people.
Yeah. And he was married for over 30 years. Which is pretty unusual in Hollywood. There are some long-term relationships, but not usually, right? Okay. But he and his wife actually did separate in the early 80s. And he said at the time, it wasn't us. It was Rockford Files was putting so much pressure on me. You know, I had an ulcer and I was going through all these medical issues. And it just was, it tore us apart. So we separated and I just realized that it wasn't us. It was the situation, and they got back together and stayed married. But, you know, I think that sometimes divorce can be a reaction, a too speedy reaction to a situation that has other correctives to it. Often, though, I mean, it's just, yes, you know, if your husband or wife is messing around on you, or if it's a horrible situation.
But even that is sometimes a reaction to something, too.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
You know, let me just pick a theme for this show right now, and then I'll get to this divorce thing. I think, like, if I could tie your Christmas woes in with this, it's the quest for perfection stops you from enjoying life and dealing with it, and does more damage than is positive. Now, let's just go to divorce for a second. I think, like, as you get older, as we all do, because that's the only direction we go, things change. And some things get worse and some things get better, but there's always change. And so it's like, are you going to adapt with the person you're with or not? Because there's going to be change.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the same people you were. And if you're like, we're not the same, and that's the flaw. Well, no, you weren't going to be the same if you were single either. No matter what, you're going to be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think at times when you're going through bad things, you want something to blame, and the most obvious thing to blame is the person that you're with.
Yeah.
And that's what you do, and I think that sometimes is where the divorce thing comes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, are you going to change and adapt together? You know, because it's not going to stay the same.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to do that, then that's where you run into trouble, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If this person, if your expectations or what of someone else is what's guiding your opinion of that person or your life with that person, then yes, that's you're bound to be disappointed.
And people that, you know, I mean, what I see too sometimes from friends of mine who will remain nameless who have affairs or whatever, is it feels like when they're trying to get that, they're trying to get back to what they were, and that feeling of like, I'm youthful and I'm sexual and people are attracted to me and I'm what I was when I was happy, or at least you connect youthfulness to happiness or whatever. And Saturday Night Live was better back then. No, it wasn't. It was the same. So, you know, they have an affair and it's like, that feels like a shortcut. And for a while you feel like, yes, I'm what I was. And it's like, but you're not. And yeah, and that then hurts the person you're with, and you're not the greatest person for this, and ugh, you know, it's just sad.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, and I think, you know, there's no one path to this, but I think being willing to adapt together and adjust and change together and not find change to be a threat, I think is the thing. Because maybe, you know, well, we want the giant house, barn and all this kind of stuff, and that's what we wanted. Yay. Okay, so we both wanted this. Yeah. Yes, that's not working out. Are we willing to change that? Yeah. Yeah. If so, now we can adjust and pivot. And, you know, I know we made these plans to do this thing, but we don't want to do this thing. Yeah. And
yeah, it's strange. And then
because relationship is change. Yeah. That's a huge part. And no one seems to say that in the vows. They go like, you know, better or worse, richer, poorer, blah, 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 blah. But it feels like dichotomy, and you don't get the middle bit, because it's basically like happy, sad, good, bad, you know, this is terrible, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Be there for both. I'm like, okay, but wait, how about the middle bit, which is slightly change? This person now doesn't like doing that one thing that you guys used to like to do anymore. Things subtly change, you know?
Yeah.
And adjusting, and that's really the trick.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that same thing with Christmas, to tie that back into there, is like, you want Christmas to be what it was when you were a kid. You want that feeling of Christmas. You want that perfect Christmas. You want those things to be right.
It's not that I want that feeling, to be honest with you. It's that I want others to have that experience. I want the people I love to have this sort of fantastic experience.
And what do the people you love want from you?
Well, that's the thing, of course. You're how you approach something like this is you create your own expectations, which you then put on them. As if they're expecting it. Now, the important thing to do is not to resent those people for, you know, it's important thing is not to resent those people for their expectations that you have put on them, if you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think that's another problem that people can have, especially in family situations where you have your own standards or expectations of what you think people are expecting from you. And then you start to resent them for expecting those. But you're the one who's creating this situation.
Oh,
you know,
this is 100% in anything. Like, this is even in business. This is what you get. Is you get like,
I don't know if I'm being clear when I'm.
No, you're right. But let me. Well, maybe I'm taking it in a certain way. And you tell me if I'm incorrect.
Okay.
The business situations I've been in that have been really fucked up are ones where someone takes on an enormous amount of responsibility.
Okay.
Takes on that because they want the controller, they want to, you know, and but then, you know, they become resentful over time that they have so much of this.
Yeah.
So they're an unpleasant person to be around, and they're snappy at everybody, and it's just, and everything fucks up because of it. But they're like, why don't you appreciate everything I'm doing? That's the only positive thing you could do, is to just appreciate all the work I'm doing. And no, the right thing to do would be split the work up. Now, even though the other people can't do it as well as you, dividing this up would then spread the responsibility, and it would make a more positive environment. And that, I think, is the case sometimes with Christmas, is I'm going to make this Christmas fucking good, and someone tries to Martha Stewart the shit out of it. And it's like, no, that's not how it goes. We have this before this, and it's got to be this. And it's like, no, none of that's the important shit, you know?
Yeah, I think you're
barking up the right Christmas tree.
Yeah, but I think you're barking up the right Christmas tree. To be honest with you, I am more about the gifts than I am about the Christmas decorations and things like that. Like, Lisa and I, she does most of the Christmas decorations besides the lights. Once I put the lights up and put the lights in the tree, I pretty much throw my hands in the air. Like, I'm done.
Pia knows how to do that stuff in a way that I do not do it.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, and I think it's, to me, I mean, I loved, as a kid, I loved putting the decorations in the Christmas tree. And so I'd like the girls to do it because I think it's sort of fun to do. So you guys have, knock yourself out, put Christmas, you know, and I think it, you know, and I like how they do it. So, and I like how Lisa does it. So. I like how she decorates the house and all that. So have at her. I don't need to do that. But I am a control freak, but I am a control freak about certain things. And so it's a, Yeah.
That's every control freak. Every control mm-hmm. People aren't control freaks about everything.
No. Well, I mean, yeah. Special, I assume there are.
They have their special. Well, they have their special domains.
Yeah.
That they're you know that they want to be. Here's the thing about Christmas traditions, by the way. Sometimes you get so locked into Christmas traditions, you know, that you just do them without just mindlessly, and it's you know, it becomes
bad?
Like flavorless gum. You know, it's just like you're just chewing it, but the flavor went out a long time ago.
Okay.
Here's the thing: you do something for 3 years in a row, anything you do, it will become a Christmas tradition. If you all decide to go out for a movie after Christmas, that will then become your Christmas tradition. If you decide to go for a walk in the mornings and do it three years in a row, that will become a Christmas tradition. Anything that you do three times in a row will become a Christmas tradition.
Is that right?
So, you know, be open with your family and friends to like, hey, let's add something new to the mix.
Sure. We're doing something totally different this year. We're actually going to be going to Gambier, to where my daughter works, to Camp Furcum.
Oh, nice one.
Which is Gambier Island is a lovely little island in near Vancouver.
And it's like a campground.
It's a campground
it's
where she works.
It's not one where teenagers have been slaughtered.
It's not
year. It's not like a
camp.
Christmas murder
let us hope
Friday
not.
The 13th type situation.
Please, God, do not make it a murder Christmas. Actually.
But by the way, that would be a good movie.
This is my new favorite hoodie that I'm wearing, which says Paddle On.
And it's got a canoe.
Yep. And it says Camp Furcum on the canoe.
That's a really nice shirt. Yeah,
so I got
a hoodie. Yeah.
I got this at Camp Fancy. I went to Camp Fancy, which was a fundraiser they had there. And so I got this while I was there as well. I paid for the lunch and I also got this jacket.
Nice.
Or a hoodie. So the thing is that because I am in the church choir, I have responsibilities for Christmas Eve to be there for two services to sing my heart out, everyone. Sing my heart out. And so I'm going to be going across on Christmas Day with, I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be by myself or if everyone's going ahead of me.
Okay,
and then I'll
but you won't
catch
just
up.
Be for yourself on
it
Christmas.
It won't be by myself
They're
on
They're not
my,
having Christmas at the house and they've sent daddy off to the island.
Me walking around kicking rocks disconsolately.
Singing Christmas songs
singing
to yourself.
With tears.
The first Noel.
Rub-a-pum-pum.
Angels. It's good. And then the guy comes out with a chainsaw. Oh, it is a murder Christmas.
It is. Oh, damn
oh
it.
No.
Damn you.
Damn you, murder Chris. Oh,
so yeah, that's a change. So that's going to be a change all around.
Well, that seems like a nice place to, you did Thanksgiving there, right?
We did. Yeah.
So,
we,
you know, generally
we invited
the
you. I know that you guys were going through some stuff.
We were very sad.
Yes.
And had other things we had to
you
do.
You did not need to add Thanksgiving.
No, I'm sure it would have been fine and fine, but yes, fun. Sadness all around.
Yeah.
But by the way, quick cat update. Had a with my cat again. He's got the terminal cancer, so there's no. Hey, it's all better. But we did have a good doctor's appointment yesterday. Charlie's put on weight is pretty much pain free. The pain drugs are working well for him. He's he's just sleeping a little bit more, but he's still himself, and we're still enjoying him. And things are there. Some people have been asking about that, so there we are. And now back to Christmas. So, is Christmas a good time at the dinner table to settle family business?
I don't think so.
I agree. Maybe later in the evening, maybe when certain people have gone.
Maybe.
But like, I think that's where the worst Christmas stuff has happened. Where like we're all sitting around and someone decides, you know what, this is an issue.
Let's
we
air
need
some
to discuss
dirty laundry
as a family. Yeah, let's not even dirty laundry, but let's fix this problem now. It's like,
yeah,
no, Christmas dinner is not therapy, and I don't mean you have to like happy thoughts, everything's a happy thought, but just like don't.
Yeah.
If it's something you would say in a therapist office and go, this has been on my mind for a while, maybe not, you know, while you're passing the cranberry sauce, you know.
Yeah,
afterwards, you know, there's gonna be a time where you're all sitting around, everyone's logy, you're watching Sound of Music or you're doing something, so kids are playing with the toys that they got, you know, maybe then you might want to casually mention something on your mind, maybe, because then you can storm off peacefully into the night should it come down to it. But
we've had one terrible Christmas, and that was, it was terrible. I can't even, but you know, it wasn't really us, and it wasn't anything that happened, like, because my mom, who can be a real nag, to put it nicely, she's actually really great at Christmas time, because she loves Christmas so much, that you'll get, like, her at her very best, you know, she won't bring up anything Although last Christmas,
I was waiting. Last Christmas was interesting. Okay, sorry, man.
I think I already talked about it.
I'm way too used to sitcoms where it's just like, you know what? Things have been really great. Oh wait, last year.
Yeah, last
smash
year.
Smash cut. Flashback.
No, it's just weird because we came there. We got there at 3:30 for Christmas dinner. Like we were there for dinner.
Right.
We walk in the door.
It was a little early.
Walk in the door.
Okay.
Mom says, "Oh, you're finally here. We were about to eat without you." 3:30. I look around. There's no one else there. My brother and his family, they're not there.
Yeah.
Were we eating without them? Was this the plan? Like just to serve turkey dinner? We were there at 3:30. We ate at 6. That's when it was ready. About to eat without you. And she just can't help herself. But usually.
So what's your reaction to that? Is your reaction to that? Or is your reaction, this would be my reaction, seriously, with that kind of thing. And this is how I do react when someone does something like that now.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, well, come on. Anyway. Ridiculous.
I usually don't react to that kind of stuff because it is like you say, it's not,
yeah,
there's a time and a place, like a, and I don't react, like I think as I grew up with it, I don't notice it as much. It drives Lisa crazy when my mom is naggy because she grew up in a family with a mom who wasn't that way, so she's not used to it and it really gets under her skin, whereas I'm kind of like, nah, you know. His parents are sometimes, you know, they like to make
sure. So what do you
think
your mom's angle on that? Is it the control thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a total control.
Yeah. Is totally. It you're you know what it feels like? It feels like in every Army movie where you go to boot camp and the sergeant and everyone's happy and they're all like, well, we're here at the Army place. Yeah, golly, right. Golly. I'll serve my country. Yeah. Listen, maggot. You're going to die. And it's like by the end, you know, everything's fine with the sarge. But, you know, the sarge has got to like establish the ground rules,
right,
who's in charge, break you down.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I think because
Aldergrove, two things come from there, steers and queers. Which are you, boy? It's like, Mom, we're trying to enjoy Christmas dinner.
You know, they talk about that thing about Minnesota nice, I think they call it. Some kind of name like that where it's very passive aggressive, you know, you know, I think Canadians have that too. Particularly people of my grandma, my mom's generation have that kind of naggy little kind of poke kind of thing where they can't tell you right out, I don't like you wearing tight jeans. It has to be all these other comments that get around, you know, to find.
You're wearing those jeans the whole night, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, those.
Is that, those, are those comfortable?
Are those new jeans or those old jeans you always wear?
Like
oh,
she,
yeah.
My mom doesn't like people going to university. I don't know why.
Really?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So when she goes to see her doctor, like, ah, college boy, huh? Mr. Big Shot, think you're better than me with all these things on the wall,
that's
huh?
That's fine. That's someone she doesn't know. But family, oh, you're just wasting your time. I went there with Mary.
With education.
I went there with Mary and Eve a little while ago, and my mom starts, like, grilling them. Like, here's a question you never ask someone who's going to university. Oh, what are you getting out of this?
What's your goal? Getting out of this in about 4 years.
Yeah. What are you going to get when you come out of it? What's your goal? Like, no one fucking knows. That's why you're going to university. It's putting off your life for 4 more years.
Yeah.
That's university. It's like.
Also, my goal is getting out of this conversation.
My mom was asking these questions, and it's okay if she's attacking me. I don't care.
No, it isn't. But okay.
But I'm used to it. But
nope.
Talking
not.
To the girls like that, no.
Because if she's doing it to you, the girls are seeing that her doing it to you and learning that that's an okay thing to do.
I guess.
That's still not
that's
good.
Not good. But
it's control bullshit. Bullshit.
I
know. So you want to kind of go, well, what's that about?
I called her on
again, it. When I'm talking to my mom because of all the stuff, you know, this again, just before, you know, we had the estranged thing. So look who's talking, Mr. whatever. But when she's called me up and told me things that my stepfather has said, which are again horrible things that are stupid and whatever, and all these kind of things, my thing is now to almost always go, well, that's silly, but you know that's ridiculous, right? You know that doesn't make a lick of sense. You know, and point it out, and not, you know, and my sister Lee's angle on it is, you know, getting furious and yelling and slamming and whatever, and it's like, yeah, you could do that, or we could just right now go, well, that's just dumb. You know, coming in and going like, you know, hey, we're going to eat without you. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Imagine you guys eating Christmas dinner alone 3 hours before we're eating. And then like we come in and it's just the bones of the turkey, which you've overeaten because you couldn't just to show us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would that be?
Yeah.
That would just be the stupidest thing.
Yes.
Ah, you. Whatever. Come here, Mom. I love you. Give me a hug. You noogies.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
No, when she was asking the girls these questions, I finally said, Mom, you are asking the wrong questions. These are the wrong questions that you ask people. That's not the point of school. You know, it's, are you enjoying classes? That's a question. Are you enjoying yourself?
Right.
You know, not what are you getting? That's not a question.
Well, clearly that's stupid. So let's, or silly.
And you can't think of university as a goal.
No, 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 no.
You know, it's a door.
But that's not what this conversation is about.
Yeah.
Now let's back this way. But you're looking at it, unfortunately, I think like Christmas and those kind of things, we're looking at things through the telescope and a real tight image and just going, well, this is, and like, let's just pull back a bit. Now let's pull back farther.
Yeah.
Your mom is talking to her granddaughters, basically saying, university is bullshit.
Yeah.
What's mom really saying? Is mom saying, I didn't go to university. You think you're better than me.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I turned out right. This is fucked up. You admit that what you're doing is a waste of time. That way I can justify the life I've lived and not think that I've wasted my time by not going to college. Mm-hmm. Tell me that because I need to hear that right now.
Yeah.
You know, let me convince you that what you're doing is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like that.
It's jealousy,
right?
Or envy, yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, but what does she want from her granddaughters? Does she want her granddaughters to be waitresses?
It's weird.
Like, what's the deal?
Oh, I got it too.
What did your mom do for a living?
Besides being a mom.
But she was a mom.
She was a she was worked for an insurance company.
Okay.
When she was younger, doing, you know, whatever, secretarial work.
Right.
And then she worked as a secretary receptionist when we were older, she got a job as a secretary receptionist.
Right. Standard work for someone of that era. Okay,
yes.
Cool. So I mean, the question then becomes, what do you want for your granddaughters? And realistically, the only thing that you can say is better than I had.
Yes.
That's realistically
yeah.
better than my son and my daughter-in-law had. We want it always to be better, a little better.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you want their lives to be better, how do we do that not with university? You know, like, what's...
Yeah, yeah.
Follow the logic.
Well, that's because she doesn't understand that university is a door. Like, when you get your BA, and people can say, oh, it's just, you know, toilet paper or whatever. It's not. It's a door. It opens your life to other opportunities that you wouldn't have without that piece of paper. You know, so by
it's
having
many
that...
doors.
Yeah, many doors.
It's like there's infinite doors, and the BA opens, unlocks a bunch of them.
That's right. That's right. And that gives you the opportunities. You may never use that BA for anything in your life.
No, you cannot go through those doors if you feel like it. You can turn around and walk
away
from them.
But you have this experience of, A, you fucking got through university, which is really hard to do. It's harder to go to university than it is to go to high school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's way more...
Because you're forced to.
Because you're forced to go to high school.
Yeah.
But you're not forced to go to university. Yeah. It's way more self-motivation, and that's hard to do. When I went to university, I went in waves. I would do really well, and then I would crash. And then I would do really well, and then I would crash again. Because I would have the motivation to push myself for a semester or a term or whatever, and then I would crash the next term. I would just fall apart. Partly I did that because I was fighting every step of the way against my parents to be going to school.
Even your dad?
Oh, even my dad, yeah. They both thought this is a waste of time.
He thinks university is bullshit?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Because both of them didn't go to university. Because they grew out of time when you left high school diploma was the equivalent of what a BA is nowadays.
Right. Why can't you buy a house? It's only $12,000.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, that was a long fight. And, you know, it's very enervating. And then I lost it, too. I lost that fight eventually because I never finished university.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you lost the fight because you still had an education that had the education that you went through. So you can never, you can never...
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah,
I never finished.
Just because
you
didn't finish doesn't negate the things that you learned or the process.
Yes, that's true. But I missed out on those doors in a way. And so, you know, girls, and I have to say that Lisa and I are pretty good at helping them along. I don't want to say for sure because I have no idea how they feel about
that stuff. If any of the girls are listening, you can write us and say whether or not that was bullshit.
Let me know. Just say, Dad, you're a liar. But
what a great podcast that would be. Dad, you're a liar. It's a follow-up podcast to this one where they just fact-check all the things you've said.
That would be terrible.
Dad loves Christmas. Oh, yeah? Dad is a liar, let me tell you.
That's right. Boo, Dad. Yeah, it was a strange conversation. And the other interesting thing about that conversation was, as I've grown up, my mom has held a kind of fake cousin, a cousin of a pretend aunt. You know, we grew up at a time when you either had a Mrs. So-and-so in your life, or you had an aunt so-and-so in your life.
Okay.
And neither of them are related to you, But either your parents were close enough to them that they were your aunt.
Yeah.
Or they weren't that close to them and they were Mrs. So-and-so.
Here's why I'm laughing. It's just like, yeah, when I was a kid, we always had the one relative who did the thing, which is why we shouldn't do the thing, because they died. And then we kept going, or something horrible happened.
Oh, really?
And like, oh, we can't have Mr. Bubble. Why? Well, your cousin had Mr. Bubble. He got an ear infection.
Oh.
And then never went away from the Mr. Bubble.
Yeah.
Like, no, he didn't. It's like, well, you can't have this candy. Why? Well, your cousin.
Really?
He ate this candy, and he swallowed it, and then his stomach burst from this. And I'm like, yeah, and so we can't have that candy. Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's like such a weird deflection,
oh,
isn't it?
I'd love to give you a unicycle, but that cousin that died from the ear infection, stomach burst, they brought him back to life and put him on a unicycle, and he ran into traffic. Then he died during childbirth.
Yeah.
Someone else's childbirth.
I mean, the natural answer to that is, I would give you a unicycle, but then you would be riding a unicycle.
Oh, someone's an anti-clown.
So this fake cousin, my mom would just bring him up all the time.
Sure.
How happy he was, what a good job he had, how he was married to this, you know, and they had a wonderful marriage and blah, 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 all the time.
I bet he looks like you, but like handsomer.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's the Earth 2 version of you.
Yeah, he had a good job and this and that, and et cetera, et cetera. So then... The same night that she was attacking the girls, actually, she brings up this thing. And this is kind of sad, actually. This is really kind of sad.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll get my laughter out of the way right now then. Go on.
This is kind of sad. One thing is that he went religiously nuts. Like, he joined, like, some kind of weird, like, kind of small Christian, like, kind of house church, you know, kind of thing, where they don't believe in the moon landing and creation, you know, the world is 6,000 years old and all that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, and I guess that made him feel better. I have no idea. He did not grow up in a religious house. His aunt, I know for a fact, was like this Ayn Randian atheist. Mm-hmm. And so to have her son turn out, like, well, irony. But anyway, and then his wife died of anorexia. Mm. And I'm like, mom tells me this and I'm like, this was the perfect person that you were always throwing in my face the whole time I'm growing up. As these have all these problems. I said, see, it just shows, girls, everyone's messed up. Like, you cannot feel like that there's some perfect person out there that you have to meet or match or be compared to or spend your whole life living in the shadow of, because everyone's fucked up.
Right.
So it's fine. We're all fucked up, and that's just perfect. That's how we have to look at life. You know?
And sidebar, even if they were perfect, who fucking cares? What's that got
that
to do
too.
With you?
That too.
You know what? No matter how much you can bench press, there's someone who can bench press 5 pounds more.
I like your sidebar.
Yeah.
I like
do you
your
wanna,
sidebar.
Yeah. Fuck it. That's not you. You're unique. No, that's again, you kind of like, you really in these situations want to go, what are you trying? Like,
is this about? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, your best case scenario is now you're the perfect cousin that other people compare to, and now everyone hates you.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Dave. Yeah, that guy. You got mentioned this music magazine for his Beatles podcast. Ugh. How's your podcast doing? It's fine. We're doing our podcast over here. Oh, because Dave's podcast got brought up on Fast Company, and they said it was one of the best of the thing of a Google Gaba. Hey, Dave just got an invite to that Beatles
documentary
in England. What you guys get? What you guys get with your podcast about Winnie the Pooh? Your poo podcast.
Poohcast?
Yeah, Poohcast. Is Tigger canon? Let us know.
Please write. I mean, you're right. But luckily, and I know this for a fact, that there's no way that
Dave raised two happy daughters.
There's
Look
no
at
way
that.
My
They're
mom is
university.
There's no way my mom and dad are talking about my podcast because they don't know anything about it.
No, they're probably bragging about the grandkids though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nah, that's what they do. That's grandparents' currency. It's just like, you know. Yeah, just dropping that.
You obviously don't know my parents.
Maybe I don't. Maybe, you know. But here's the thing you're always going to find. Okay. And I'm not going to, get too dark here. But at one point in the future, there will be a funeral. Sorry about that, but that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
And at said funeral, you will meet friends of your parents, you know, depending on who it's for. And at that point, they will tell you stories of your parents. And you'll go, nope, that wasn't my parents at all.
Yes, you're
And you're
right.
Like, yes, that was your parents. Mm-hmm. They do this and they do that. And, you know. When I talk to my mom's friend, Lee, who's not my sister, but my another Lee, you know, she'll occasionally drop something that they did together and go, what? And I'm like, oh, shush. It's like, yeah, your parents, you know how they have those movies, The Secret Lives of Pets?
Yes.
They should have one that's The Secret Lives of Parents.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. And you just like, as soon as the kids go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and you see what they get up. Now I'm doing Tigger again.
Ta-ta for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
With the exception of you, because you blab about your life on your podcast, so, you know, there's no secrets there.
That's true. That's true. And I think a lot of Secret Life of Parents would just be that them, like, hurriedly undressing and then hurriedly dressing when the kids walk in the door unexpectedly.
Yeah, and they're wearing each other's clothes then.
That's right. Why are you wearing mom's bra? What?
Randomly. And if it's like the Secret Life of Pets, everything in the trailer will just be a catchphrase. Will be like a catchphrase of don't go there, nailed it, not. Everything will just be.
I assume that all the good jokes for that movie are in the trailer.
No, I bet they're not, because all the jokes, again, are just like reaction catchphrases, like, you know, are just like sayings, you know? That's what she said. Like, yeah. it's all that bullshit. So those aren't jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be stuff. That's the kind of movie that just writes itself. Just go like, hey, it's Toy Story, but with pets. That's fine. People like pets. Now they got the new one, which is Sing, coming up, which, like, I see that, and I hear groans from friends of mine, you know, when they see that, and I was like, oh, no, but yeah, this is going to be so big with your kids, because kids love to sing. Mm. So you've got, like, animals, and they're singing, and then what you're going to get is you're going to get those videos, and that's the sing-along videos, and you're just going to bring those characters out for forever, singing different songs, and your kids are going to sing along to them. Oh, this is going to make infinite money. Infinite money. This is, okay, there you go.
Good for them.
And then I see, like, Cars 3. Go, stop it. Just fucking stop it. There's no more to that story. Stop it.
But he got in an accident.
I think this is now 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth film in the Cars universe. Mm-hmm. If you're not counting, like, Christmas specials and bullshit.
I don't know. I saw one of them. The first one.
My wife
first
hasn't seen Finding Nemo.
She hasn't seen Finding Nemo.
Nope. I was going to watch Finding Dory the other day. Yeah. And I was like, have you seen Finding Nemo? I was like, nah. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Should I? Nah, maybe I'm fine. Life. Moving on. We'll watch something else.
You're not going to watch Finding Dory?
No, because she hasn't seen Finding Nemo. So I think you've got to see Finding Nemo before you see Finding Dory.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I need to see Finding Dory. It's fine. I like me some Ellen DeGeneres, but I don't know if that movie's a necessary part of my life. I've still got the,
Do we need everyone's backstory?
Yeah, I've downloaded the Don't Think Twice, the improv.
Okay.
Mike Birbiglia.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. But I know it's like going to be such an emotional watch that it's been like, oh, maybe now is not, maybe not this time of day. No, maybe not now. I got to just sit down with it. And, okay, maybe I might watch it tonight. We'll see. Or maybe tomorrow.
Interesting.
But I am really looking forward to it. Yeah, it's available on iTunes, and it's available on like PlayStation Network, which is how I got it before the DVD release. And then I'll get it on DVD, and I'll watch it with all the, you know, the director's commentary and everything.
Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, I am looking forward to it, but I'm also, okay, it's going to be a tough one. Here we go. Let's buckle up. Here we go.
It's been a movie kind of a end of the year for me. I don't think I've watched this many films at the... I went and saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay, where do you find them?
Last night. Apparently in a suitcase.
Oh, okay.
Nowhere else.
If they did it nowadays and it was set now, I get they'd all be on his iPhone. They'd all be apps.
Fantastic apps and Where to Find Them. It's... Mary summed it up really well. I said, what do you think of the film? She said, it was a cute movie. She said, it wasn't like a cinematic masterpiece, but it was fun.
That's what everyone seems to say.
And I'd agree with that. I'm not a big fan of the main actor in the film. Partly because he looks like a duck.
Is he one of the beasts? Is that the platypus?
He's a platypus. There is a kind of creature in it that's like a, I guess like a platypus.
I've seen him in the trailer now that I'm thinking about
platypus-y,
it.
Platypusy echidna kind of a thing.
So by the time Harry Potter shows up.
Harry Potter is not going to show up.
But Harry Potter is in this universe many decades in the future.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So by this point, all those beasts are dead.
Well, their relations
they're
live
dead.
On.
They're dead.
But they're
all dead.
Why? You think that goes...
By the time that Harry Potter comes out, they're all dead. Yeah. Okay, that's sad.
Why?
They're all gone.
You mean the specific...
That platypus doesn't live.
Yes, Niffler.
Niffler's dead.
He's a Niffler. He's not called Niffler. He is a Niffler.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I imagine, yes. Unless they have some long life. I don't really know how long they live.
All right.
They're fantastic beasts. No idea.
What I do like when I saw the trailer was, you know, the era that this is set in. What is it, the 30s or 20?
The 30s, yes.
The 30s, okay. The 30s is a good era for people to be wizards and waving stuff. And, like, it's a nice, it's just a nice era to see some magic in.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. good. I like that. When in Harry Potter you had things like them destroying the Millennium Bridge, like, meh. That to me.
Why?
Who cares? Like,
who cares about them destroying a bridge?
Don't give me that modern shit.
Yeah.
Like everything. The nice thing about Harry Potter is it's kind of timeless, and they're in this world. You know,
it's timeless because the magical world is like frozen in time.
Right. And then you got like they bring the band over, and it's like, you know, can you rock like a hippogriff or whatever? And they're all dancing around, and you go like, nah, this is bullshit. Yeah, pass. Nope. This doesn't fly.
Is that in Breakfast of Champions? Goblet of Fire, I meant to say.
Yep.
Is that in Goblet of Fire where they have the...
Yeah, it's in Tartar
House. That's a terrible, terrible one. Tartar House 5?
I was going to say Tartar House 5 is the story I wrote, but Slaughterhouse 5 is the
Kurt Vonnegut. Forget it. That's a terrible movie, that Goblet of Fire one. And it's my favorite book, so I was really disappointed.
Because it doesn't have the song in it.
The book doesn't have the song in it. But no, it's okay. Like, you know, Eddie Redmayne, he mutters and he mumbles and I was looking down with this kind of weird smile and his duck-like face.
What's the villain's name? That guy.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, yeah.
Yes.
Is he a good villain?
Tell
me without spoilers?
It's unfortunate that he's presented as the villain in the film, because he actually is, his villainy is not apparent in most of the film. Like, seems to be working on the side of
this is
good.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, he might have a second agenda that he's not making clear, but you don't know unless you see the trailers and they spoil it for you, then you don't really know
that's too bad that they do that. There's a person who's like a mutual friend of me and my wife and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
More
you guys share friends? That's not a good idea. Good idea.
Well, as long as we stay together, it's going to be
fine. I don't think the marriage is going to...
But they feel in the Star Wars movies that the Empire are actually the good guys in it. They're actually anti the rebels.
Really?
Yeah, that's their feeling about it. Yeah, because the Empire actually maintains order,
mm-hmm.
and actually does not do anything necessarily bad.
They're a big fan of the Roman Empire, are they?
Yes.
Mm.
I would say mostly.
Interesting.
So they feel they're the good guys. And
Let's just talk seriously about this, because we could say the same thing about the Roman Empire, honestly. That, yes, it's true. You know, the Pax Romana was a very important thing. I mean, because, you know, the Romans, through strict, cruel, you know, order, kept the world safe for going from town to town selling things, or going to visit your friend who lived in a different place. In the past, before that time, you could have been walking down the street and brigands could come and kill you. It could still happen in the Roman Empire, but it was less likely to happen because of, you know, things like crucifixions and murder and just. But also the thing is that, you know, it was a ginormous thing. It was this huge empire. It stretched, it spanned the known world. It was run by slavery. It was run by a huge onerous taxation system. Mm-hmm. And if you opted to not pay your taxes, wherever you lived, your city or your village would be decimated. That meant the Roman would come in, the Romans would come in and kill every 10 of you. Every 10th person would be killed because you refused to pay the taxes.
It's a nice town you got here. It'd be a shame if something was to happen to you.
That's right. And so, yes, you had the good things of order and the technology of concrete and aqueducts and domes and the things that they created. But you also had like the imposition of gods and the imposition of these horrible, this taxation and the imposition of a cruel prefects or whatever people running your, you know, Romans would be parachuted in to be in control of where you lived.
Yeah.
You couldn't speak your language anymore. You had to speak in Latin. And, you know, there were good things about it and there were bad things. And you know, I think, and I guess the same thing could be said about the Empire, is that, you know, but was it better than what it was replacing?
Well, let's argue on the side
of
the Empire, yeah.
Let's pretend that I believe that the prequels are part of the universe.
All right, let's bring them in just for the
just
point of this
for
argument,
this point of this argument, because then we have an actual pre-empire.
Yeah,
and we have a time
the Jedi's
when...
are assholes. They live in a golden tower. In
yeah,
a city.
Let's not talk about them, but let's just talk about the Senate.
They're jerks.
So they had a Senate,
okay,
which is like a Roman
yeah.
situation. You had representation from around the universe mm-hmm. at this thing, and I assume you had a system of taxation, and you had a system of you know, what government should be doing, which is, you know, keeping organizing and keeping things moving. So whether that's having treaties for trade between planets, having interstellar highways, let's call them, that were maintained and kept safe.
And boy, howdy, when you see the amount of people who are in the Senate,
yeah,
there's a lot more planets and mm-hmm. places than we ever see in the films.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how about all these jerks? Well, why don't they do some stuff?
Yeah, but what I happened mean, with all you have to what? Narrow your stories. You can't.
I know,
can't.
But there's hundreds
yeah.
of planets here.
Thousands, probably.
Yeah, so by the way, the problem then is when you get to the final Star Wars movie in the original trilogy,
yeah.
and it's like, hey, yeah, we did this, and we beat this guy up, and whatever. Oh, that's swell. You know, there's hundreds of planets. Mm-hmm. They all didn't get the message. Yeah. Some of them are still going to want to, like, you have done nothing. Mm-hmm. You've solved nothing.
Sure.
Except throwing one guy who has lightning hands in a hole.
Well, the Emperor, though. I mean, he was kind of the glue of the Empire. That's why he's called the Emperor.
Yeah.
What Assuming
happens,
no one
what happens
stepped
when
in.
An Emperor dies?
Oh, there's a vacuum, power vacuum.
Yeah, and then?
You get Snopes.
Snopes?
Or Snoke.
And he fact checks everything.
Or Snoke. Is it Snoke? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. No, I like that.
I love
that movie
once,
Snopes.
You guys.
They just go to this giant guy and just go, I heard a story. Was Luke Skywalker real? Yes, I can verify the source. Luke Skywalker was real. Wait, I heard that Han Solo had a kid. Yes, I can verify. This is, okay. How about the Life Day, a Christmas special? No, there is no verification that existed and Harvey Korman is not in continuity.
There is no Life Day.
There is no Life Day. But yeah, the Jedi's were dicks. You see how they treat Jar Jar Binks, even though Jar Jar Binks is a stupid guy.
Yeah.
But like at one point, you know, like
I'm having a hard time because you're taking the prequels too seriously, and now you're starting to like impose that crap.
Well, here's
on
the thing: it's like what were things
films?
Like before the Empire took over? One, yeah. one.
But how, I don't see. I don't want you to be like.
Okay,
that's why I don't like the prequels because they're using the prequels against the proper
but
movies.
But the only way you know what things were like if you don't. Have
I'm just
the
talking
Empire.
About the Senate. I don't want to talk about like the Jedi because all that stuff was handled so
ham-fistedly. Well, don't listen to what okay. I'm going to say for the next 10 minutes. No, like two
I'm
minutes.
Gonna, I'm
yeah,
gonna
eat
some.
Eat some chocolate.
I'm gonna eat some Turkish delight. That thank you, Nathan,
Very
for
good.
This Turkish delight.
Okay, that's really you get Liam Neeson, who is the you know. Head Jedi. He's about the coolest of the Jedis, the most Jedi-like of the Jedis, aside from Yoda. And when
who's
he,
that? Sorry, who's the coolest?
No, you don't
oh,
care.
I'm sorry.
Liam Neeson is there, and he's doing his Jedi thing. Oh, and when he talks to Jar Jar Binks, he's really condescending.
Yeah.
Thinks he's an asshole. Grabs his tongue at one point, which is one of the most disrespectful things you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. You might as well just grab his dick. Like, it's just a terrible thing. So the Jedis are snobby fuck faces.
Yeah.
They live in a tower in the fanciest city in the fanciest planet. Yeah. They live above it all. Meanwhile, what's going on in the rest of the world? Slavery. Do they ever, 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 ever try to stop slavery? No. They go to the planet of the slaves. They get the shit they want. They never, you know, you can control people's minds. So you could easily do a wave and go, free your slaves. You free your slaves. You free your slaves. You free your slaves. Or just fucking free the slaves yourself. You went to the slave patch and went, meh, you're coming with me. Yeah, we're going to go do some shit. That's what we're going to do. But they don't do anything about it. So fuck the Jedi. They're assholes. And without the Empire, who's a good guy? Princess Leia, she's living on the fancy planet, luxury, beautiful waterfalls. Other people on Tatooine are like scraping by trying to get water fucking vapor out of the ground. Mm-hmm. You got a waterfall here. Fuck you. Bring some goddamn water down there, you shithead. Everyone's an asshole. You know,
I mean, you like the
rebels. You know why you like the rebels? It's because the bad guys dress all in black like they're fucking goth in high school and go, yes, yes. But that doesn't mean nothing. I mean, this Obi-Wan Kenobi isn't any better, you know, than Darth Vader. They're both just dicks in robes.
I disagree with you, but
what does Obi-Wan Kenobi do that's a good thing? What's a positive thing in the movies? Let's go in the movies. What's he do that's a good thing? Obi-Wan, why is he a good guy?
Why is he a good guy?
Yeah, what's something he does? Oh, good Yoda. Why is Yoda good? What's positive about Yoda?
I don't understand what you mean by what's positive.
Well, that's the thing. You got to Empire are evil,
yeah.
Then you got to go, well, they're evil. We should be rooting for the good guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's a good guy and why are they good?
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, what is Obi-Wan Kenobi supposed to do, though? Like, do you want him to mount a one-man attack on the Empire?
Well, here's the thing. Obi-Wan Kenobi,
yes.
we see, has the power to change people's minds.
Yes.
He has lightsabers. He can use the Force to move things. He can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who...
But he can't change 100 people's minds. he can slightly change one person's mind.
Right. So maybe we could see something of like, he's been lightly trying to do good things, even on Tatooine where things are shitty. Mm-hmm. But no, he's decided to live in a cave away from each other and shut himself off.
Yeah.
And basically give up and not do anything.
But we don't
good.
Know what he was doing before that.
Okay, you're right. You don't. But let's go
So we
neutral.
Don't know about his history.
That's right. So we don't know nothing. So yeah. He isn't good or bad. He's nothing.
But when he...
He just says the other shit is bad.
But when he is approached by Luke,
yeah.
And he sees Princess Leia's message,
right.
He actively starts to help Luke
right.
to save Princess Leia, to go on this quest.
How old do you think Luke is in this story?
I think he's in his early 20s.
Early 20s. So he's basically spent 20 years in a hole doing nothing.
Who?
Obi-Wan. As a sleeper
I don't
agent,
understand
you
what
could
you...
even go as a sleeper
but
agent.
He's not a sleeper agent. He's just an old guy. He's like a hermit. He's just a guy
right.
who's retired.
So
into...
you're a guy who basically, you believe in the Force.
Yeah.
You believe in the positive power of the Force.
Okay.
And you are not using your power.
To do what?
That's right.
Like, give me an example of what he's going to do with his power.
Well, when he says there's never been a greater hive of scum and villainy than this bar over there.
Okay.
Go to the bar
yeah.
and stop some shit from going down. Do something positive, man. Stop a crime. Be a fucking superhero. Be anything. You've got powers, Jack. Staying in the goddamn hole. Okay, here's one thing.
But he's...
Droids are being captured, and we've seen that they feel pain because they're screaming in agony when their feet are being burned. How about stop that shit? How about stop that shit? You could fight. You could stop the Jawas from doing this bullshit, but instead you go, not my problem. So he's the guy with superpowers who's living in New York during the worst times. Crimes are going on outside. He's telling people a lot of shit going down. Meanwhile, this guy's a fucking wizard and ain't doing shit. And then like 20 years later, someone goes, hey, I need your help. You owe me a favor. Like, yeah, you're right. I owe you a favor. I'm on it. But 20 years of
I don't
doing
know. He's
taking
not
a 20-year
he's not
break.
A superhero, though.
Taking
so
a 20-year break when the Nazis have taken over. Go fuck yourself. No, he's beyond a superhero. He's a Jedi.
He's not a... But
what's a Jedi's responsibility?
I don't know. We don't
really
know.
Yeah, you should know then. That's the thing. Otherwise, they're not a positive force. You just assume the one side is going, yeah, the dark side. Oh, the dark side.
Yeah.
Well, if they're the dark side and this is the light side's got to do something for 20 years or you're not the fucking light side. You're an asshole living in a cave who smells bad. Fuck you. Yeah, you're a weird little hermit. Screw off.
That's a really... I've never...
Because what
I don't
are they? Why are they
your,
good?
I don't understand your reading.
The
of
only
this,
reason Princess Leia is a hero is because she was kidnapped. Her planet was blown up. What choice does she have?
No, she's more than that. She has the plans that she's taking to wherever so that they can try and stop this Death Star thing.
Right. What choice does she have?
That's brave. That's a brave thing to
do. It's not brave. It's like they've got a Death Star which is going to blow up planets. She feels that her planet could get blown up. Is that a good assumption to make? Yes, because they do it. So she's correct. That's just survival, man. If someone's gotten plans,
but
for
they
an
blew up her
bomb,
planet in reaction to her.
Nah, they were
going to
do that anyway. Don't.
Why
don't fool yourself.
Why do you say that? No,
don't fool yourself.
You're just making.
There's no reason for them to blow up the planet.
You're just saying that.
No, because it's a military. It's a military site. You know that's why they're blowing it up. They're not blowing it up as like, haha, I'll show you.
It's not named as a military site. Why do you say that?
Well, she's part of the Rebel Alliance.
Yes.
So she, as a leader of the Rebel Alliance, that's her headquarters.
No.
She's not operating off her own planet where she's princess.
No.
Where's she operating out of?
Wherever the rebels are, which is not on whatever that planet is.
So she, in her palace.
Is it Coruscant? Is that the name of that planet?
No, Alderaan.
Alderaan.
So you're saying Alderaan is not.
Guys, I'm arguing this movie having seen it twice.
Right. Alderaan. You're saying Alderaan is not anti the Empire. Even though she's the princess of this planet, and she's one of the heads of the rebels, that planet is still cool. No, fuck. Of course they're going to blow it up.
If
they've got a machine that can blow up a planet, that's the one planet.
Yeah, but
blow
it's
up
aimed
first.
At her. It's not aimed at Alderaan. They're not blowing it up just for the heck of it. They're blowing it up because they know that that will hurt her
the
most.
She's not a one person thing. If she's living on Alderaan, you know she's got other people.
Yeah,
there
of course.
Who are like,
I'm sure there's
people
everywhere who are involved in.
But specifically on the planet she's from,
don't know what the rest of her family's like. The rest of her family may be sympathetic with the Empire. They might be
making assumptions.
You know, they could be part of the Vichy French.
All right, let's just go with the logic.
It could
of
be
what
Vichy Alderaan.
She knows that this machine has the power to blow up planets. Okay.
Yes.
She knows she's part of the rebels.
Okay.
She knows that this can blow up planets. So just as a survival thing, yeah. it makes sense for her to try to stop this thing. That's not for the greater good.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay, maybe it's for the greater good, but it's also your own survival.
Well, that's fine. You can be good and also be, it also can be in your own interest as well. That doesn't, they're not self-negating. It does not undercut it.
It does undercut it, yeah.
No, it does not undercut it.
Yeah, if someone's saying, like, you know, I'm going to release this gas, what's it going to do? It's going to kill you, and it's going to kill everyone around you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I want to stop the gas. Oh, what a hero. No,
yes.
because you want to stop the gas from killing you as well.
But if you are the one who acts and stops it, that is heroic.
Why? There's all these other people is being dead.
But there's all
You're
these
dead
other people.
Both ways.
Yes, but there's all these other people who You're are better... also threatened who did dick all.
Who are you talking about?
The other people. You said it'll kill you and all these other people.
You
what are
know.
They doing?
Okay, in that fictional scenario, you haven't. We don't know how those other people. But like with her, she's the only one who can get off Alderaan. Well, she was kidnapped. So there you go. That's how she got off.
So
Alderaan.
What you're telling me is all the people who fought in World War II weren't heroic. Because they're all
yeah,
fighting.
That's what I'm telling you.
Because they're all fighting
that's
for their own self-interest.
That's what I'm telling you.
But that's what you were saying.
That's fucking nonsense.
But that's what you're saying.
No, first of all, a lot of people were drafted, so it wasn't a fucking choice. Okay, but if someone...
There wasn't a draft during World War II, but okay.
There wasn't a draft?
I don't think so. I think it was volunteer.
Bullshit. No, there was draft during World War II.
I don't think so.
Talk amongst yourself.
You're going to look it up?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe...
Of course they were. Sorry, just going back to old Warner Brothers cartoons, Daffy Duck was going to get drafted. The little man from the draft board was coming, and he was going, yeah, okay. Hooray for, okay. you know, we're getting all the Nazis, hooray. And then the little man from the draft board shows up, and he's hiding from the little man from the draft board. Of course there was a draft during World War II.
I'm sorry, everyone. There was a draft board.
Jesus
I'm
Christ.
Sorry. I'm sorry. There was a draft.
Okay. But
so they weren't heroic. Because they were drafted.
So if you found out that there was someone who had a bomb,
Everybody.
And the bomb was going to blow up Canada, and their goal was to blow up Canada, and they had
Can
a
I
bomb
go to America?
That was gonna, and their bomb was going to blow up Canada. Okay.
Is it safe if I go to the States?
You can't leave.
Oh.
So because Canada's floating in space because it's just an asteroid.
Okay.
And they're going to blow this up.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know this machine that they've got
yeah.
that will shoot a bomb
yeah.
will blow up Canada.
Sure.
And so you decide I'm going to go and try and stop this.
Okay. That's heroic.
Or you're going to, you know, on your planet or whatever.
Yep. That's heroic.
I mean, why is that heroic? Because you're going to die either way.
Yeah. But that's right. That's
your
what,
better chance that's what of being, not dying is to stop the bomb.
That's what being a hero is, though, is acting for the good. There's less people who
you're
would not
acting
act.
For the good. You're acting for yourself. You're acting for selfish
Doesn't,
reasons.
No, it's not selfish. You are saving other people.
As well as yourself.
Okay.
But you're primarily look.
Yes, that happens all the time. People
in the mix. When you're in the mix, and your choice is, I'm going to.
I don't understand. That's a weird. You have a weird idea.
You do understand.
No, you have a weird idea of what a hero is.
No.
No one acts entirely, just totally altruistically. It's impossible.
But that's where, in these stories, with like Star Wars and whatever,
yeah.
the point where you become heroic is when you start acting beyond your own self-interest. When you go beyond, you know, self-serving, that's when you become a hero. You go that one step beyond and you sacrifice yourself for the others. If everyone else was going to die with you, that's not as heroic. It's not.
It's still heroic.
Luke Skywalker, you know, becomes a hero because he doesn't need to do all this shit, but he does.
Yeah.
He goes above and beyond.
Sure.
He could just run away and hide. Yeah. Han Solo is a hero because he comes back
Kay.
When he's already left.
All right.
That's the way that goes.
And what about Obi-Wan? He's not. He could have just stayed in his hole in the ground, but he didn't. He went and sacrificed himself and probably knew that that was the ultimate end of his role was to be killed. In fact, he basically lets himself be killed.
Yeah.
He drops his sword and lets Darth Vader kill him.
And what good does that do?
Because he knows that he'll be more powerful in his disembodied state as a mentor to Luke.
Okay, here's the thing: if you, and it's a weird scenario. But if you are going to sacrifice yourself, right?
Okay.
Like I'm going to run at this Nazi.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's got a gun.
It's sort of different in the situation, but okay.
Okay, but let's just say that you're going to run at the Nazi. He's got a gun.
He's got a gun.
I'm going to, and you can either go with your gun or you could throw your gun away and you could just run at the Nazi. Now you're going to run at the Nazi, but you know, if the Nazi shoots you, you become a super ghost. And now you're a super ghost and you're not actually dead because you're a super ghost. And now you can actually do more stuff.
You're still dead.
Is that a sacrifice? Is Obi-Wan sacrificing himself by becoming a super ghost that can then talk to Luke?
Yeah, but that's all he can do. It's not like he can continue on living his life. He's just becomes a disembodied voice.
But that's not true. If you look at the next two movies, he's sitting on logs with Yoda and having conversations and going, "Hey, how you doing? Yeah, you know, he's feeling depressed. I know. He doesn't even know that his sister's a Jedi. I know, right? Yeah, I'm a ghost. Anyway, you're not surprised by me, so clearly we have these conversations.
That happens in Empire Strikes Back?
Third
one,
actually.
Oh, fuck that movie, but okay.
Yeah, he shows up as a ghost in the second one with Luke, and then in the third one, I believe he's, like, hanging out with Yoda like they're fucking roommates, you know, and he's just hanging out. Maybe in the second one he's a ghost with Yoda.
All he does is just say, go to the
Dagobah system,
He just shows up every so often. Yeah.
But Yoda sees the guy and is like, how about that guy, huh? Yeah, I know. So, like, Yoda's casual with this
that's dumb.
The ghost Obi-Wan shows up all the time.
That's dumb. But
so you're saying I'm right?
No, I'm just saying that's dumb in those movies. It's dumb.
Then here's what we do. We're going to throw this out to our audience.
Doesn't mean that you're right.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm right. We're going to throw this out to our audience.
It's garbage.
Is Princess Leia a hero in Star Wars?
Yes.
Is the Empire bad? And are the rebels good? Let us know.
Do you think the Empire's good?
No, because they say, "Bwahaha, we're bad." But I'm not sure.
Are you willing to take the bad for the good that they do?
I'm going to say that the Empire are bwahaha aware of their evil and willing to tap into it evil.
Yeah.
I think the Jedi are also evil, and I think most of the they are, because they allow evil to happen and not do anything about it. They allow slavery, which is...
Okay, that doesn't happen, but anyway...
What doesn't
You can't
happen?
Have the prequels. You can't argue that from the prequels.
All right.
Because those
are
just a disaster. They're
allow
a car crash.
The slavery then of the droids. They allow droids to be... And don't say that droids can't feel, because they torture droids in the first movie. So they're fine with slave creatures, you know, being tortured. They're fine.
We don't know if they actually feel or if it's just an overload of the circuits, but okay.
Well, they're screaming.
Yeah, but it's just a noise.
And they can definitely feel fear, because we can hear that through C-3PO.
Okay.
Okay, so they can feel fear and they feel pain.
Okay.
They let all the shit on Tatooine go down, no problem. They've got no problem with all the evil.
There's only one person, but okay, I like your they.
What's that?
There's only one guy.
The others can... Okay.
There's only one... There's two Jedi in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There's Obi-Wan and Yoda. There's two of them.
Okay, so we're not counting the prequels. All right, fine.
So you want two
Yoda
people.
Yoda has decided the best thing, while basically the space Nazis have taken over, is I'm fucking off to a jungle, and I'm just going to hang out in a swamp.
Sure.
And just, you know, fuck around all day.
Okay.
Even though I've got amazing powers.
He's going to sing songs.
I could help in the fight.
He's going to sing songs.
That's right.
Seagulls.
You love the song. Yeah. Seagulls should peck at his head. That guy's an asshole. You know? So
I disagree with you. I don't think... I think in the story idea is that they are there as guides to the hero. So they're not the heroes in the story. So I'll agree with you in the sense that they are not heroes. Both of them are broken, scared people whose lives...
Were broken by Empire.
We don't know what their lives were before.
They say they were broken by... But their spirits were broken by what happened.
That's right.
With Anakin.
We don't know.
He calls him Anakin.
He calls him Anakin. Okay, so we know that... Yes, we know that there is a turn of some... You know, there's some sort of spiritual shattering.
And they both decided, I'm out. And for 20 years, fucked off.
It's not that they're out, but they're both powerless.
Right.
They're both powerless people.
They're not powerless.
Who are hiding in the midst of this giant, you know. They know if they reveal themselves, they would be dead. That's a fact.
Wait, no. Why are they dead?
Because they're wanted people. They're wanted men.
Who's killing them?
The Empire.
You don't think they could win in a fight with like a bunch of stormtroopers?
No,
like who's going to kill them?
Yeah, stormtroopers. Yeah, they would die. And don't go by the prequels where they can just wave their white lightsabers around them casually.
I'm going to use Star Wars where they can wave his fingers and go, I'm not the guy
person,
you're looking for.
To one person, but he still has to run away from stormtroopers firing at him and runs on to the Millennium Falcon.
What, Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan does, yes. He doesn't wave his finger at them and say, you don't want to shoot me. He says, I'm out of here. I'm going to go hide inside a spaceship where there's no people shooting at me.
Okay.
Because it's limited what they can do. They're not magic. And they're not...
Of course they're
not
magic.
Well, they're not magic in the way that you want them to be, like a Superman.
They are.
They're not Supermen.
They can wave their hands and things fly away. They can lift rocks. They can. They got a magical fucking sword.
A little bit.
They can block like lasers.
No,
of course they're magic. They can block a little bit. He's training Luke to shut his eyes and feel where a laser blast is going to come. That's superpowers. That's 100% superpowers.
But it's not like magical superpowers where it's just like an infinite amount of power.
Oh, well,
it's a limited amount of power.
Well, that's not what the dark side says. The dark side says you can't believe the power of the dark side. You know, if you just let yourself
But they're lying.
Flow through.
Yeah, but
are
they? Yeah. It's just a sales technique.
But how about Zappy McGee?
It's like they're at the forum.
The Emperor.
It's like they're at an EST seminar.
So you think
this is a bunch of nonsense?
So you think the
because the Empire's totally okay.
Darth Vader.
Let's bring up the prequel for a second.
Can look at a guy on a screen.
Yeah.
Who is light years away?
Yes.
And just go. Eh. And all of a sudden, that guy's going. Klah! And he's dead.
But he is unusually powerful.
By thinking.
Yes, but we know that he's unusually powerful.
He's unusually powerful, but he's not the most powerful guy. He's the second most powerful guy. It's like
who's the first most powerful guy?
Emperor.
So they're more powerful than Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You don't
know. So they could both easily kill those people.
No, you don't know what Yoda and Obi-Wan can do because they never do shit.
But they do shit. They train.
When Yoda decides to go like, hey,
they mentor Luke.
Yeah, that's right. So when Yoda goes like, hey, you know what I can do? What? You know, you see that spaceship that's in the swamp that's incredibly heavy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloop. They're done. I can raise it. Anyway.
He didn't do it that easily, but yeah, okay.
How do you know he didn't do it that easily?
Because we see it in the movie.
He waved his hand.
He does not wave his hand. He has to stand there and do it for like 4 hours. It takes 4 hours for that scene to happen.
Yeah, it's a 4 hour scene. You're absolutely right. Sorry.
It takes a long time. It doesn't just pop out of the water and land on land. Then just go boop and land. He has to like do this dramatic sequence where it's like
his
hands
are
shaking.
Oh, his hand shakes a bit.
Yeah,
he's got. He lifts a spaceship into the air from a swamp.
Wow, that'll certainly help you in a big war.
Yes, it will. Throw it at a bunch of guys. You could lift a spaceship.
But he doesn't throw it. He just makes it land.
If you can lift a spaceship, you can lift like 12 dudes and throw them into space. Yes.
Okay.
If you can,
but what if there's 100 dudes? What if there's 1,000 dudes that are shooting at
you?
What if there's a starship that's bombing your planet from outer space?
Oh, let me tell you what you do if there's a starship.
Oh, what do you do then?
Yeah.
Throw them guys at it?
You do what Darth fucking Vader does, is look at him on a goddamn screen and go, oh, let me snap your neck. Done.
Yeah, one guy.
What do you mean one guy? There's one guy piloting the thing.
You can't see
him,
if you can look
through a screen and see a dude.
But how is he looking through
a
screen? But what screen is he using to look at these people? How does he know who's piloting it?
How does he know who's piloting it?
Yeah.
Look it up, man. Like, who cares?
Oh, you're so silly.
All right.
This is
everybody,
the second silliest argument we've ever had on
this
show.
This is ridiculous.
I'm going to say this is worse than the Cowboys versus Lions.
Oh, I wanted to ask you a question about that.
Okay.
Thank you, by the way, for those of you that wrote in about Cowboys versus Lions, who'd win the fight. I wanted to throw this fight scenario out
for
you this week.
Okay.
Because I kind of enjoy doing this. I was thinking about Batman.
All right.
And how one of Batman's big enemies is the Penguin.
Another coward, Batman.
Who would, I don't disagree, who would win in a fight, a bat or a penguin?
Penguin.
Okay, what's your scenario?
Well, I just think a penguin's bigger. So, you know, I mean, if they're going to tussle,
the
penguin's going to win. Like, I don't know. Are you thinking, like, the bat is going to, like, torment him to death by, like, flying around and slowly...
Maybe knock him into something?
Try and knock him down. But I don't think a bat can knock over a penguin.
Okay.
I think a penguin's too big. And also penguins, they're pretty good at falling down and getting
back up.
Now,
are you thinking, like, an emperor penguin, like an enormous penguin, or, like, just a moderately sized penguin? And how big does a bat get? What's the biggest
bat? Well, if it's
an
emperor penguin, it can use its electric flipper, you know, and zap at the bat.
Yeah, but that's not good because he's usually wet. So it's not good to use electric powers
when
you're
wet. That's true. You're on ice. There's a lot of conductivity.
Yeah, you're also on ice, yeah.
It's kind of take out all the other emperor penguins as well.
Yeah, what I do as a bat is I just drop a pebble at his feet and he'd go, is a pretty lady like me? And then
he does. Oh, so you use some art. I have to approach it like as if they're both like animals, not intelligent beings who like have subterfuges.
Okay. It just is weird in the comic that a bat fights a penguin. But yeah, I was just kind of curious. Bat versus penguin.
Well, what do you think? You tell me what you think.
Who would win?
Yeah.
If they're near a cliff, I'd say the bat wins because, you know, you distract him and he'd fall off a cliff.
But
I'd say what I would do as a penguin, I would grab the bat's wing with my beak and I would pull him underwater.
Sure.
And I think the second you got the bat underwater, that's the end of the bat.
How about just grab him and like just roll over? And crush the bat.
I don't think the weight of a penguin would crush a bat.
You don't think so? How big is the bat? Is it like
this is the thing. We haven't really discussed how big a bat could be.
If it's a fruit bat or if it's a...
Well, I'm going to throw this out to our expert. Gavin, biggest bat there is, moderate-sized penguin. Who wins in that fight? Gavin, I know you're listening. Gavin, wake up. Let us know. And anyone else, give us your scenario on bat versus penguin.
By the way, if anyone
wants to draw that fight, please do. And send us a picture of that drawing.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Anything else you want to discuss on this fine show, my friend?
Because
we've solved every problem. We've solved Christmas.
We've solved Christmas.
We've solved Star Wars. We've solved everything.
You've destroyed Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I got the George Lucas beard.
Well,
that's why
it's still coming in nice. I'm really liking it.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll probably be gone pretty soon. Well, last night at the Critical Hit show, I went in and said I was growing it to do some George Lucas cosplay.
Okay.
And what I want to do is sit in the front of Rogue One, watch it, and just go, no, wrong, no, where are the midichlorians?
That's the
boo.
That is the problem, though, because now we have a movie that's going to give us the scenario before like, you know, Princess Leia gets the... Is there Princess Leia in Rogue One?
She should be.
You think
so? She exists.
Yeah. But anyway.
I know her, just from the trailer, I know that her pop is in it.
Mm.
Jimmy Smits.
Mm.
Old Smitty.
Mm.
Who was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine last week and was very good in that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, glad to hear that. Wasn't good in Dexter. But maybe that was his character. Wasn't so great. The problem with that film, though, is that we keep... Like, to me... What I like about the Star Wars films is that what I liked about them as a kid was that they just kind of start at this place and they just go, you know, mm-hmm. to the end of the film. Like Star Wars is like, you know, it's like a perfect film in that sort of, you know, in that genre of like that kind of heroic quest sort of films. And I do like Empire Strikes Back a lot, but I think to me that the final one of the original trilogy really falls apart. Like it's just not a successful film at all. And it's almost like they didn't know what to do. You know, because basically at the end of the second film, Harrison, like the Han Solo and the Princess Leia story is done. They've said they love each other. Well, that's the end of that storyline. There's really nowhere else to go but for them to get married and, you know, and then, I don't know. You know, you wrote the best thing about that of all time, your time.
I don't remember what I wrote.
Sorry. Well, it wasn't about them specifically, but you did that great sketch where you had the people coming back from their time tunnel. It was basically like a Stargate kind of a parody. And then you have the show start.
Okay.
You have the TV show start.
Okay, yeah. No, I wrote a sketch. You can put this up if you want, if you haven't before. But it was Space Hole. It was basically like Stargate. But so like the TV show Stargate happened after the movie Stargate.
Yeah.
We did that, but it was called Space Hole. And they came back, but there was nothing for them to do in the TV show because they'd solve all the problems.
They've already done it. And they fell in love. The two characters fell in love.
And so it's just them writing up the Christmas newsletter and just hanging out and finding pennies on the street.
That's right. Living their life. And that's great. The problem with that is that it's hard to dramatize that. And so this third film, there's really nothing for Han Solo to do except for react horrifically to the discovering that that Princess Leia and Luke are brother and sister. Other than that, there's not much for him to do in that film.
Which again is a very funny YouTube video.
A very funny YouTube video as well.
Now, what you do with that, to me, with Return of the Jedi, is you don't put Han Solo in it, which is a drag, you know.
The final one.
Yeah, you don't put him in it.
Yeah.
What you do is your final scene.
Yes.
Is him getting thawed out after it's been solved.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can have that. So like your final scene with them partying, whatever, you know, that's when he wakes up and is fine. And Chewbacca's happy and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
But you don't have him in the fight through the whole thing, you know,
all of a sudden
30 pounds heavier and blind. You know, it's just like, what were they feeding you in the carbonite? Because you don't look as good as you did going in. God bless you.
Yeah.
And I'm not fat shaming Han Solo. But dude, you know you're coming out of the carbonite. You gotta be the same going in.
Yeah.
Oh well, fair enough. Okay, it's all right. I mean, though I do like, you know, in Jedi that Princess Leia has kind of become a badass. I like that she's, you know, threatening to blow up everybody with a bomb. I like all that stuff.
Yeah, she could be in it.
Absolutely. And
because her story still has to go.
Right. And you could actually like have her, you know, stealing the carbonite thing, but don't free him from that there because you don't have the technology or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like, you know.
Yeah, that would be even better.
Yeah.
Like, so like Chewbacca's carrying around this big lump of carbonite on his back, and it's always at risk of being damaged.
Yeah,
and
it drops into space at one point.
Or it's like sliding around on a ship.
Or it falls into the Sarlacc pit, and it's like, what do we do? You got to dive in to get it.
I don't know. Yeah.
By the way, you got to blow up the Sarlacc pit. Fuck off with that. Don't leave that there. Don't go.
It's a living creature. Why would you kill it?
Because it's dissolving things for 1,000 years in its belly, and that's
but it's a living
cruel.
Beast. You can't just kill things.
Yes, you can if they dissolve things for 1,000 years and torture them for 1,000 years. Blow that shit up. Thermal detonator down the middle. Kaboom. Unless for some reason The only reason that that this planet exists is because these things are here and these things are keeping the planet together. That's the only justification I can think of. Otherwise, you should not have Solok pits on your damn world.
I think that's mean.
No, that's a terrible thing. This horrible thing. The worst.
There's lots of terrible things in nature. It doesn't mean you just destroy things in nature because you don't like think it's cruel.
This is the worst thing. There's nothing it in is nature what it as is. Bad as this.
Venus flytrap?
Yes. This is much worse. If
it would,
Venus
to a fly, to a fly,
it's not a
whose life is short, whose life is short. It would feel very similar.
I'm not a big fan of Venus flytraps either, but yes, okay. when it comes to a debate between plant versus animal, I'm on the side of animal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
I do like Venus flytrap in WKRP in Cincinnati though. I like the character.
Yes. Isn't his name Venus Fly? The full name is Venus Flytrap?
Yeah, it's not his real name, but yes.
I think it's on his driver's license.
His name after he deserted in Vietnam.
Is that true?
Was an episode.
Wow.
Huh. He was in a helicopter, and they were interrogating the Viet Cong.
Of course.
And the people he was with threw them out of the helicopter.
Okay.
And he just basically lost it at that point and deserted after that. Changed his name, became a new person, and became a DJ. And he tells that to Gordon Jump. And Gordon Jump, who really hated him for being a deserter, changes his mind on that and, you know. They kind of bond over it. A very special episode of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Very special episode.
Yeah. And afterwards, they say, like, he meets the guy who threw him out of the plane, the Viet Cong guy, and goes, I swear to God, I thought Viet Cong could fly. Anyway.
Nice. That's a little black humor, everybody. Ian took it to a dark place, to the dark side. Anyway,
not believe the power of the dark jokes.
I think that's a good place to end the show.
Sure. I think we should have ended it 20 minutes ago.
Really?
No, it's fine. Everything's great.
You are the dark side.
I know. I want everything to be perfect. Like Christmas.
Like Christmas.
Like Christmas. Here's another thing I'd like to ask you guys out there. Aside from our very important
a lot of questions
bat
for you.
Versus penguin thing.
Bat
what
versus
are
penguin.
Your holiday traditions, if you have any?
Mm. Okay. You can write into, here's how you can tell us, everybody. You can write to us. You know, these sort of things you should keep public. So you can write to us on our public places, like
the bathroom.
Our message boards. What's that, sorry, what?
The bathroom.
The bathroom.
Bathroom wall.
That is another place that's public. We won't necessarily see that, though. So you can write to our message board at our website, which is sneakydragon.com. You can go to our Facebook group thing page, which is another place you can contact us, and you can write there.
Also, that's like Sneaky our Dragon. Facebook page if you feel like it.
Yeah, please like our Facebook page. That way I can creep you. I'm just curious. Just want to know what your life's like, where you're from. Just curious.
How many kids you got?
I don't
got
go
some,
that
you got
deep.
Some dogs, huh?
I don't go that. Basically, what I look at is where you're from.
Yeah, let's see your house.
I'm like, oh, you're from there. That's nice.
Got a lot of nice stuff.
We got some reach. Yeah, like our Facebook page. That's always nice. You can also see us on Twitter. Sneaky_dragon. That has been a neglected site. That has been
though many of you still write us there.
Speaking of
nice
a Sorlock pit,
nice
yeah,
to,
that's very
you know,
nice.
See stuff and
yes, we do see those.
We do look at your tweets and go, oh, that's good.
That's awesome. That's what I say. I say better than good. I say it's awesome. That's because I am on the light. I'm from the good side of the Force. Me and Obi-Wan. So you wouldn't want to see an Obi-Wan Star Wars film, like the kind of deals
I like
with...
Ewan McGregor, so I'd see it because I like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I like Ewan McGregor a lot too.
I think the character is very flawed, very flawed.
But
character.
I think that would be interesting to explore, you know.
Well, the interesting thing to explore would almost be like a space hole thing where it's like, let's see what he was like for those 20 years on the planet. And it's just him fucking around the cave just going, should I put up a poster?
Cleaning,
I don't know.
Dusting with a feather duster.
What should be the bathroom corner of this cave?
Hmm.
Maybe I should get a house. Nah, the cave's fine.
Yeah.
Should I get a second robe? Yeah. Where would I get that from?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with...
Mugging the Jawas for robes.
He's a flawed man, it's true. But not evil. What else can you do? You can go to our Tumblr page. There's ways to contact us there. And finally, you can also email us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Love to get emails from you guys. It makes my day, makes my whole life feel great.
Or you could
also
like come up to us in person, like Nathan Evans did, and give us chocolate bars.
Yes, thank you, Nathan.
So David has your chocolate bar.
I have a Turkish delight here.
And also a licorice... assortment as well, like some.
Yes,
kind
I'm
of
curious.
Business.
Curious about that one. And here's a final thing. Another nice place to read nice things written about us is on iTunes. If you do those sort of things and you like to leave comments on iTunes about people's stuff, feel free to leave comments about our shows, because when you do that, it lets other people know that these shows are good and that they should listen to them. And that's great. And if you have bad things to say, you know, just keep it to yourself. Hang around with my mom. You guys can like make a lot of scolding, nagging comments together.
And say you guys like doing, say, hip hop. Take that rap Dave did off the top and just incorporate that, and put it into a mix.
No, that's
maybe mix it with that Hamilton that everyone likes so damn much right now. Just mix it all up.
Is that what Hamilton is? Is rapping?
Yeah.
I will not be seeing Hamilton, everyone.
Oh, boo to you. It's fantastic.
No, it's okay.
It's really, really, really good, guys. You know how things sometimes get overhyped? This is not overhyped. Mm. It's very, very good.
It's all wrapped up. Like this show, everyone. I would like to say goodbye to you, and I'll see you next week. How about you, Ian? Would you like to say goodbye to everyone?
Yeah, I'd like to say goodbye.
It's too bad. Okay, everyone. See you next week.
You are the dark side. That's where you put the straw, right?
Oh, okay.
That's the straw.
That's
hole.
The idea.
Yeah, you flip that around, and then you put the straw in there, and that's your that holds your straw in place.
You know how I feel about straws.
Yeah, the last one broke that camel's back.